Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Financial markets, yeah, the financial world was waiting for this week for month and month. It's the week of the US Federal Reserve interest rate decision, and this decision will be this Wednesday. A lot to talk about, also the Ukraine war and inflation. This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddin Ebumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Great to see you, guys.
Peter, yeah, it's almost like a historic week this week. What can we expect of the Federal Reserve?
So it is, you know, you described that it's been months and months. I think it's probably even been longer. This has been on the menu easily since September when they announced that they were going to start raising rates. Everyone's got an opinion about how much they're going to raise on Wednesday and what is the timeline and how many are going to be raised in 2022, as well as the timeline on the taper. The wild card in the situation is obviously the Ukraine war, right? Up until this happened, even though we've been anticipating this war for a while, I'm sort of in a quandary over this. Look, we've been anticipating this thing for a while. And so it's absolutely wild and crazy the way, look, the Federal Reserve is always talks about how they are data-driven decision-making people and how they will pivot depending on what's going on. That was before the war. Now we've got one more piece of a wild puzzle, a wild market. If we've learned anything from the first 9 weeks of 2022 is volatility is here to stay and anything can happen. If you're comfortable in your situation, just wait because God knows what is going to happen forward. So anyway, up until the war, we had a sense of how much they were going to raise and how what the timeline was on how many they were going to raise for 2022. Obviously, the world is in shock and awe of what Vladimir Putin has done, and the extent to the war and the extent to the damage and the effects on the oil business, oil industry, and the obviously effects on inflation in the United States and the global markets. So where does that leave us here coming up on Wednesday? Obviously, it will be a historic event. It's clear that they will be raising the interest rate, perhaps a quarter of a point, perhaps a half, depending on what's going on. Before the war, we were looking at perhaps 50 basis points to 1 point. Kind of a shock and awe. It's the first raise we've had in many, many years because we need to fight inflation, because it's time that the market started to raise interest rates just to protect itself in a big way and sort of even out monetary policy here in the United States. However, the moving parts, the wild global conflict, the 1,000-point reversals in the marketplace going forward, the price of oil, all of these things are basically the moving parts and the puzzle that will affect their decision-making, which is still an unknown coming into Wednesday. It is Monday. It's 2 days away. Yet we really do not know what they are going to do on Wednesday.
Peter, behind us is the fifth weeks with losses on Wall Street, of course, of the Ukraine war. What's the feeling on the floor at the moment?
So look, even before the war, we were having quite a challenging year to begin with. The volatility has been severe in anticipation of the interest rates and the inflation and the supply chain problems. The market has started to sell off quite a bit. Day one, Jan 1, right? We saw the high growth stocks, the tech sector, get hit because they are not the favorites in an environment where you raise interest rates. So that was the beginning of it. And then the inflation story, and then the labor story, and then the COVID story. I mean, if you were worried about moving parts, we've got more coming in absolutely every day. So, look, this market is fragile. People are anxious. Stocks are trading at 52-week lows. The market is not, look, we actually went into, you know, it's curious. I've been talking about it lately. It used to be generational when we would go from a bull market to a bear market. Bull markets would last 5 years, 10 years, 18 years, 25 years. Bear markets would come along. They would be for 9, 10, 11 years. We are seeing now going from a bull market to a bear market every day, right? Right. The terminology needs to be adjusted because the landscape of the stock market has changed. We are seeing intraday reversals of thousands of points. trillions of dollars coming out, millions of dollars, billions of dollars going in. I don't know if it's hedge funds selling and retailers buying, or retailers selling and institutions buying. I don't know if foreigners are getting involved. I don't know if people are dumping their crypto and buying the dip. I don't know. I don't know. Is there a legitimate answer here, guys? But the market definitely feels fragile. People are scared, whether it's the war in Ukraine, and my prayers go out to everybody there. What is happening is inexcusable, and it really does bring back memories of 1939. It is clearly affecting the stock market. Historically, global political and wars do not last long within the marketplace's landscape. Usually in anticipation of a war, the market sells off, and when the bombs start to fall, the market rebounds. This is not the case here. We are seeing so many new parts. Obviously, energy and oil is a big factor. We are not coming into a war in the Middle East that has less effect on the global economic situation. We are up against a potential nuclear confrontation. We are up against one of the top three strongest economic and global powers in the world. So the landscape, the economies, the structure, the anxiety is at a heightened level.
Talking about the Ukraine war and also about energy and oil and gas, let's talk about the chart of the week. Sada, you brought us crude oil. What can we see here?
Oh my God. Yeah, really interesting chart, actually, especially for traders who are trading crude oil, what I do. But not a chart which showing you the prices of oil. It shows you the spread between Brent and WTI. We know that they have different prices. There are different reasons why Brent lasts to be expensive than VTE is. What I do is I short Brent and I go long on VTE because we see a huge spike in the spread due to this escalation between Russia and Ukraine. And this is what I, for example, use even before the escalation. We can see spikes or changes in the spread. And this is a good, nice trading idea that you can also apply with certificates at IG, because you are hedged in the crude oil market and just using this mean reversion in spread. Really interesting. If you're interested in that more in detail, come in my live stream at IG every day at US opening.
We've seen oil get as high as $130 a barrel. Russia happens to be the first, second, or third, depending on who you speak to, largest oil producers in the world. A lot of Europe is dependent on their oil and gas reserves in a huge way. Some of the other players in the game are not particularly friendly either, whether it's the Saudi Arabians or the Venezuelans. So oil is one of those commodities, when it is in play, that is just oh my God, you just want to grab your teeth into and try and figure it out. I don't think, let's look back to a year and a half ago. Oil was trading at negative $25. Now it's trading at $130 a barrel, right? And we don't even know where the end of it is. But people will often ask me, should I go long oil? We've got a confrontation with Russia and Ukraine and whatnot. And I will say to them, it is a very risky instrument. And why is that so? Because it's a supply and demand on steroid issue. We don't know, and we've seen this happen this week. Everybody was buying oil. Ukraine, Russia story was going to be, is President Biden going to shut off supply? Will Europe be able to shut off supply? And then, boom, out of nowhere, we decide to make a deal with Iran. Iran is also not one of our best friends, but also a large oil producer. Right. Would we have ever thought that one of our biggest adversaries, we were going to go to Venezuela in a desperate fashion to attempt to get oil from them? Right. What's going to happen? Are we going to release American reserves of 60 million barrels a day? Is that going to affect the oil? And what we've seen is, and then where have the Saudis been through the first 16 days of this war? They've been quiet. At what price did the Saudi Arabians say, you know what? I'm done. It's $130 a barrel, because all they need to do is hit a button and they can add volume to the world market just like that. And that's what we saw happen. Not did one of these things happen, but they all happened, and we see a massive reversal in the oil market. Once again, to make it even crazier is, how does the U.S. equity stock market relate to a rollover in oil, right? We saw our markets down, oil going up, oil's rolled over, and this market went up. So look, all I say this all to say is, people need to use risk management and technical analysis, which Salah and I talk about all the time, as the only defense against this volatility.
Peter, Completely other topic, Amazon just announced a stock split after Alphabet stock split. Is this a good thing for investors?
Amazon announced a stock split, 20 for one, and also announced a stock buyback. Is this a good thing and how does it affect the stock? Let's be clear about what happens. We just recently saw Google, okay, a $3,000 stock, also have a 20 for one stock split, also have earnings, and also have announced a buyback. Okay, the initial reaction, let's say this is not your grandfather's stock market. In the old days, if you did not have $3,000, you could not play in the field of the high-flying stocks like the Amazons, like the Teslas, like the Googles, because there was no such thing as fractional investing. But thanks to DriveWell and thanks to a number of other people in the landscape, you can now buy $1 worth of Amazon, $10 worth of Amazon. You can fractionally invest in these high-flying stocks. So the reaction to the split or the reaction to these high-flying stocks should not be as exaggerated as it used to be. In the old days, if I was never able to afford to buy a $3,000 stock, when it became a $200 stock, I was excited. The investment community was excited. Now I can finally afford a stock that was one of the high flyers, because historically, stocks that go to $9.99 go to $1,000 and $2,000. Stocks that go to $19.99 go to $2,000 and $3,000. If you track it historically, these high-flying stocks tend to be some of the best performers. Obviously, Amazon, obviously, Google are these stocks. So why do stocks react the way they do when they announce a stock split and a buyback? In today's world, you have to realize that a lot of people are short these stocks. When you announce a 20-for-1 split, and this is something I've recently learned, that people who are short now have to buy back 20 times as many shares to cover their short position. So what happens is when the stock split is announced, we saw with Google, Google went from 2,700 to 3,300, and it has done nothing but go down after that. Amazon went up 200 points for the same reason. There's this knee-jerk reaction that, oh my God, this is a great thing. Now, if I was an investor, why wouldn't I just want to be patient and wait till the stock split to get involved? But everybody is trading on FOMO and hype and hope, and they run into the stock at $3,000, and it is actually a wrong decision. So is it a good thing that Amazon is splitting? I think so. It makes it more affordable to some people who don't know about fractional investing. It always is a good thing. Historically, we've seen that stocks that do that tend to revert back to their original price and go higher and higher. Google has not seen a positive day since that split. But once things actually do happen, I believe it will get back on the game. There is another wild card in the Amazon story, because apparently the Justice Department is actually going up against Amazon for unusual business practices at the same time that they're doing a split, at the same time of earnings, at the same time of a buyback. So there are many moving parts. I'm not really sure it's a good thing. It probably is, but it's a complicated story.
Peter, one question from my side. Holding positions over the weekend can always be a kind of risky. But of course, in this time of this Russian escalation, weekend is really getting more risky, or holding positions over the weekend can be more risky. What do you think about holding positions about the weekend? I'm actually a person who is hedging the positions then. At IG, you can even hedge your DAX position over the weekend, because you can trade the weekend DAX at IG, which is a nice opportunity if you want to hedge. But what do you think about holding positions over the weekend, especially right now?
I am a firm believer, if you are a trader, if you are an investor, I would not look at your investment portfolio for now. I would just let it ride. Historically, markets do nothing but go up. Crises for since 1987, since 1929, 2007 have been long-term, nothing more than buying opportunities, not selling opportunities. Let's put everyone at bay that way. However, more than ever before in history, the overnight trading has been absolutely wild. The other morning, we were down 1.74% overnight in the S&P 500. By the time we opened, we were flat. The market rallied 600 points, sold off 700 points, rallied 1,000 points. So overnight trading and over weekend trading are, in my opinion, advanced trading techniques in this world. Normally, they would be risky at best, but in this market, they are advanced trading techniques, and I would not recommend them to new or young or inexperienced traders. Right. It is not responsible. The volatility we're seeing overnight, due to the lack of liquidity overnight, due to the huge whales who are out there playing the game, are wild. We're seeing it in stocks that are on trading on earnings. DocuSign came out with earnings last night, a few nights ago, and the overnight action was wild. They opened the next day down here $20, and the volatility is wild. We've seen it in Roku. We've seen it in PayPal. We've seen it in Facebook, overnight, and the spiders especially. We have not seen a less than a 1% move intraday, overnight, in the S&P 500 for every single day for the last 9 weeks. So I don't know what your risk portfolio is, but I know that mine would not be able to handle that. And I watched a video last night with Warren Buffett, who said, if you can't handle volatility, then you should be not trading this market. If you can't handle it, buy real estate, put it away, and don't look at it over 10 years. But if you're somebody who's going to watch this thing and your stomach can't handle this kind of volatility, you have no business trading this market.
Thank you. You're right.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. So much to talk about. Exciting week ahead of us. Thank you so much for this time, Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and Salah Eddin Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, I appreciate your time.
Merci.
I am honored. Safe trading, everyone.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you very much and take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.